Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
The best of O'Mara.
Yo, motorcycle TV fans. Yo. Hello, motorcycle TV fans. Motorcycle TV fans.
The Mayans is the spinoff of Sons of Anarchy, and it premiered last year. It's coming up on its second season, and we are going to talk to one of the stars. One of the stars of Mayans MC, premiering Tuesday, September 3rd on FX. He's the star of the spinoff Mayans MC. Bishop Michael Irby will be joining us. He's a badass. They're all badasses in that Mayans Motorcycle Club. But I will tell you, I have so many questions, starting with the fact that the motorcycles in Mayans, so much better than the motorcycles on Sons of Anarchy. Remember
How come?
Well, because I'm a motorcycle guy, and I noticed that they really kind of went all out with the Mayans. Like, they really started focusing on the motorcycles. I don't know if he's going to know how to detail.
But also,
much more so. Remember the motorcycles they had on Sons of Anarchy that looked like glorified mini bikes that were
Sons
silly
of
looking?
Anarchy, they would trash them every like week. If something would happen.
But they still were like small based on guys not riding. Yeah.
Do you think it was a budget thing? Do you think it was a budget thing? If they trashed so many motorcycles, they just had to go cheap?
There'd always be a problem. There'd always be a gang. How many gangs did they go against?
Lots of them, including the Mayans.
But the Mayans, all they have to deal with is the cartels and the government.
This is true, but it's much more intrigue and much more complicated. Now, before we get him in here and wave at me when he's on the line, Irby from Mayans MC, I had a moment today. I don't know what happened. I'm going to have to leave right after the show to get to go to an emergency barber situation. Let me explain. I got this hair. No, you can't see anything yet. Stop it.
I don't see anything. Read ahead.
Kill you sometimes. Anyway, so the thing about it is I wear this CPAP thing in the morning, and I'm getting tired of my hair sticking out on the side. And I've gone in a couple of times and said, I need you to cut it short on the sides. I don't know what happened to me this morning, but I get out of the shower and I'm blow drying my hair, and I get this area on the side that sticks up. And I've asked this 90-year-old barber the last time. I think I told you last week, Rob. I said, I want you to cut it, keep it long on the sides and keep it long on top and short on the sides.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I took my beard trimmer because I got frustrated and I decided, well, maybe I just should show it to you.
Please.
Oh no!
Why would you do that?
I look like something from American Horror Story.
It looks like you're a kid in Play from House Party.
Yeah. You got a House Party. Kid, not Play. Play had a hair on his eyes.
Now, do you have battery operated trimmers, or are they electric trimmers that you use?
So chargeable.
Oh, it's rechargeable.
Panasonic, good trimmer. Had it for a long time.
Yeah, obviously.
It doesn't move as quickly as that, but it did a good job. The blade did a good job.
Yeah, well, it's very even.
No, it's not even.
No.
Right?
Well, I was going to say it's.
Well, I'll go in and get it fixed, but I'm going to tell the truth.
How do you fix that?
Well, I don't care if it's like a big poofy thing up on top. Taper it a little bit, I'll be okay.
Mike, and I think
it looks like you're having some confusion with not gender. It's more like a racial that you've got a black man, an older black man's haircut is what you have, and you couldn't be whiter.
Well, that's fine. Then I think that's in the spirit of racial cooperation, which we need today more than ever. I'm perfectly okay with that. I don't think
he's correct at all. What it looks like is you have no hair at all and a bad toupee.
That's even worse.
I mean, you've got
That is worse.
That is just
for those of you not joining us.
That is mean.
For those of us not joining us with a video presentation, there is no hair.
You know what I think I look like, Rob?
What?
Well, I understand. get in the back of the bus.
There's a little bit of that.
Hello. I'm a member of the Third Reich.
I love it, though.
Dr. Jones.
My house is sweating every day down here. It's ridiculous down here. It's ridiculous down here. I can't even begin to tell you that every day, all day, my house just sweats.
What is your
temperature? My house is like a cocktail. 94.
Ugh.
94, 95 degrees with 145% humidity.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get it taken off on the side. And, Johnny Old Man last week was like, you don't need that. Yeah. Well, don't tell me what I need. It's what I want, you dick. So anyway, I'm going to be going to somewhere, what is Maddie?
A woman's perspective, please.
God. I know.
What did your wife say?
Well, she was at school. She was at facial school, you know, with a bunch of
she's
the girls,
not gonna
the other,
know.
Which a bunch of the other girls from 13th grade. You know what I mean?
Did so you use a guide? Did you use a guide on your trimmer?
No, I did it spontaneously,
freehand.
And then I realized I got hair all over my shoulders, and I don't want it to go down through my sink, so I put it in a trash can, and then I got back in the shower again, took two showers. Because I'm an idiot. Because I'm a complete and total idiot.
Every man with clippers or electric razor has done something similar. Usually sure. Happens to their face. They don't.
Usually by accident.
They don't try to give themselves a haircut of that manner.
No, that's next level stuff. It really is.
But I don't. You know that I'm not really crazy about. Oh my God, if a hair is out of place, I don't mind dramatic change.
No,
I don't mind that at all. But this is going to have to get fixed. And now I will.
ASAP.
So the only thing I want to do is go to a barbershop I haven't been to before and have somebody address it that with minimal embarrassment. That's what I wish to, because I know I'm going to walk in there with a hat on and somebody's going to look at me and go, oh my God, what did you do? And I'm fine with that.
It was
They're
for a
all
play.
Weird about it cutting
for,
it on the
it
side.
It was for a play.
Yeah, tell them it was for a theater.
For a play. It was
a theater
for a play.
Experiment.
Oscar, have you found, you like to cut it short on the side. Have you found that barbers are weird about cutting it super short on the side?
But you, look, black barbers are not weird about cutting it super short on the side.
I went to the black barber shop and they didn't do it there either. I know where the black barber shop is.
Go there and say, look, I need you to fade this in as best as possible. You can cut anything you want on the top off, but you got to fade the sides in and have it match.
And sadly, Mike, I think really the only cure, what we can do, we can put a Band-Aid on it, but the cure is time because it's really way short on the sides.
I mean, I like it short on the sides. I want to keep it short on the side. My son gets a zero on the side and he looks adorable.
Your
and he
son
said, Daddy,
is
I want you to get a haircut
years
like mine.
Old,
so
you are 60.
So, yeah, I know. I blew it.
Age appropriate.
I blew it. I understand that I blew it, and I understand.
If it makes you feel any better, Mike, I'm probably going to have the same issue here in, I would say, roughly 3 weeks. Because, as my wife said, I'm follically challenged. It's time to just cut it all off. And it's not something I feel like I got to pay for sometimes. So I look at my clippers. I saw them yesterday, and I said, well, maybe I could probably just do this myself. You know, I'm almost there.
Clippers are really tough, especially on the back. Clippers are harder than using a razor. Because I should know because I do shave my own
head.
Well,
I went right down to the skin.
Yeah, I know.
I went right down to the skin.
You have a guard on your razor?
Yeah, but I didn't use the guard. I took the guard off.
Said no more guard.
I just went, I got tired. I'm tired of this hair. Yeah. I didn't want it there when I got my last haircut. I wanted it shaved on the sides, and now I got, not shaved, but buzzed down to a zero. So that's what I have.
Let me ask this, because so often when something like this happens, it's the result of trying to even it up. Several attempts on either side. Was there any of that?
I tried to cut a little bit off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The part that was jutting out a little bit, and then I went, yeah. And then I said,
do you want a one instead of a zero? Because a zero is like
I've had a
skin.
One. I like zero. I like zero. Would this be a zero? Would that be a zero?
That's, a zero would be nothing. It would be the guide that's
yeah, that's
built
just the raise. Just the raise.
Yeah.
That's the zero. Mm-hmm. Zero is fine. I'm like, it's hot down here. My house is sweating. Where's the guy from Sons of Anarchy? Hello?
We have him at 920.
Where's the guy?
It's 920.
920.
Yeah. I thought you said 10 after.
No, 920.
920.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you said 910.
Never did.
No. 920.
We have time. We can start the show and join him in the first break if you
That's
like.
That's what we can do.
No, I don't want to do that. I want to talk.
The last time I had a zero is when you had my head shaved, essentially. They went to zero and then they used a razor.
Yeah. It's like prep work.
Just for perspective.
Meanwhile, Mike is getting ready.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's not.
Shannon, look at this haircut. Shannon, look at this haircut. You got to come put the
headset
on.
Actually, Shannon, come in here.
Yeah, come on in here real quick.
That is a. It's,
now I've done things like this.
I don't mind taking an extra few minutes.
I've done
to
like
talk about.
Yeah. No worries.
Hey, you know what? That side looks better. Here. That side looks better than the other side. Because
okay,
there's
this
sort of
the
a
first side.
Yeah, I can tell. There, you got better. You got practiced on the
you
other
can talk
side.
Talk to Mike.
You're still very handsome.
Thank you. God bless you, and you're beautiful. There you go.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. You have a great day.
That does not advance
that's
this conversation.
That's a great cameo
What's
right
this?
There. What that's why I love that lady. That's a great cameo.
You don't hear what she just said off mic.
What'd she say?
She turned
mic?
To Oscar and said, what happened?
What happened is a midlife. Carla said I'm having a midlife crisis.
I don't think it's a midlife thing. No, I don't know. I think it's a weather crisis.
You
know,
by the way, midlife for me, midlife for me was two decades ago.
Did you look at her and said, you were my midlife crisis?
Yes, you were my midlife crisis, baby. Yeah. And she made me eggs and hats and coats this morning.
Oh, that's one of your favorites.
With chicken low-calorie breakfast sausage, which was great.
I went to school. That's so nice. Yeah.
Busy lady.
Went to school. Mm. We're a machine. We are a machine in the morning now.
I
get up in the morning. Frankie, now is conditioned where 5:30 is his go time. He goes out. He poops in the dark. I take my phone out with my little flashlight, and I look and see where the poop is. I pick it up, bring it back inside, give him his new chicken sausage that he gets, which is this spectacular treat that he goes nuts for, and it actually smells like a real sausage product. Then it's over to the show prep to get that fabulous news ready. Which was just so stimulating today, okay? I don't care about John Travolta, all right? I don't care about John Travolta messing up at the VMAs. I don't put VMA stories in the news very often because I don't believe in it. The VMAs always contrive to make something
You mean
special,
like his purposeful mess up when he swore, yeah. Oh my goodness, a spontaneous right. moment?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so he looked good
I'm
bald,
not
though.
He does look good bald.
I was like,
you know what? I'm glad he's accepted that.
Man looks fantastic.
And that's fine. Mm. But John Travolta, who has given us some iconic film roles, also has some amazing misses, too.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about that. But anyway, getting back to the hair, I will fix it today. I will fade it in a little bit. And I think it's fixable. And if they take more off the top, I don't care either. I'm fine with that. It's hot down here. Take the hair away.
And when they finish the haircut?
I'm glad I have hair at this age.
Yeah, well, you should be. That's a blessing.
And a solid hairline.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us aren't blessed with that.
Yeah. You know, it's a little, it's getting the Omera, we call it the Omera natural fade. inside by 2024, I'm reasonably sure it's going to be the middle of my head.
My question is, you know what? Would you rather have it recede or would you rather have it gone like a shape on the back of your head, which I have?
I'd much rather have it recede.
Yeah, of course.
And,
you're lucky.
By the way,
you're lucky.
Cutting it shorter and shorter is fine with me. You know that. You've done it. I mean, when you really started to lose it, your last hurrah, when you were growing your hair, you had ponytail, when your hair was ridiculously long,
right.
but ridiculously thinning on top.
Yeah, really
were
tough.
Were you saying to yourself that was kind of your last hurrah? Did you think that in your
own
mind?
Yeah, I think so.
When you cut it, that was going to be it?
I think so. And I lied to myself for a long time because before that, I kept a flat top. And a flat top requires different length of hair on top. And it would be really short down the center. And you would see skin. I said, well, of course you see skin because it's shorter. That's fine. It's important.
Made famous by the FedEx Field appearance.
Yes.
Where everybody was looking at your bald spot.
If you want to really emphasize lack of hair, you complain, but have you ever had the top of your head on a Jumbotron?
No, I have not.
No,
how many years were you in denial for that hair loss, just out of curiosity?
It would have to be probably 5 or 6.
Rob did not want to admit that he was losing his hair.
Oh, I don't have
and
a
Dom
lot going for
me. Dom was giving him
me.
A hard time as Dom was losing the exact same spot on his head.
It looked like we were
right back here.
Like carbon copies of each other, yeah.
And Oscar now is losing the top a little bit, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you put your head down? Can I see? It's not so bad. No, you've got more of a forehead issue, I think.
Well, that hurts as well.
Well, I'm just saying.
Both are painful to hear. I mean, come on.
Well, no, we just said better to have recession than to have a bald spot. The weird thing that I
issue.
The thing that I battle
Show
is
title.
If I grow out, my hairline is really weird in the front. It's got like a weird shelf and a point. So I almost have to keep it shaved.
Like a widow's peak?
Well, it's off to the side, though.
You consider yourself a little,
character?
A little delusional. By even calling it a hairline?
No, there is hair. There is. I mean, I can feel it. I know. I can tell because when I use my Harry's razor, I can gauge my hair loss by the amount of drag when I'm shaving my head. For example, I'm going to take my headphones off for a second.
Yes.
It's like resistance, slide, resistance.
You can tell,
There's
Will
always,
you ever grow your hair back at all on any level?
If I do, it just means I'm being lazy. Because I don't like shaving my head. It's sort of a hassle.
Well, it's a grooming.
Yeah. Oh, we have our guest, Mike.
Oh,
yeah.
What if you want to play Phil Silvers at a Halloween party?
Ben, I'd be glad to grow out the sides for you.
Yeah, it will look great. All right. This is a lot of fun. We are very, very excited to welcome Michael Irby to the Mike O'Mara Show. He is the star of Mayans MC. Their second season premiering Tuesday, September 3rd on FX. And if you've gotten a look at the Mayans MC, this is just one of a million badasses on that show. We are delighted to welcome him right now. Michael Irby, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. The first thing we were talking about with Mayans MC, and I don't know whether you can corroborate this or offer any insight on it, but the bikes you guys last year came to the show with, it just seemed to me that if I remember back in the day with Sons of Anarchy, as a biker myself, I was looking at those bikes and I said, where are the real bikes? You guys have the great ape hangers. You seem to have the batter ass bikes. Was that anything? Can you offer me any insight on that? Did the bikes get better when the spinoff took place? Because they look really awesome.
No, I can't really say that they got better. What I can say is that is more of a cultural thing. The Harley Davidson, you know, obviously they make a great machine.
Right.
I think it's going to come down to the culture, though, and, you know, us being a Latino show, Latino-based, the Mayans MC, that's just part of that world. You know, you do bring kind of that lowrider aspect to it, you know, like you said, with the apes. And, you know, I believe on Sons they were all riding the Road Kings, and that is more of that world. And we're also a Southern California charger, you know, so you're dealing with that. The Northern Cal is maybe a little bit more traditional. And the bikes are kind of a representation of who we are as men, who we are as people. So, you know, when we jumped into the bikes, I think, and obviously, you know, that was 10 years ago. Things have changed a little bit like that, but to be honest with you, it goes more back to the culture than it does to the bikes, because I know they had a thick budget out there too. I know the actual machine of Harley hasn't really changed all that much in the 100 years they've been around, but when you give it to the Mexicans, we're going to doll it up a little bit.
Yeah, and the Mayans, most of you guys are riding with apes. You know, as a biker, I remember I never had them. I always looked at them, and I always heard they were a little harder to negotiate than a low profile on a bike. Do you find and you ride with apes all the time on the show, and it's just you know, the machines themselves are beautiful to look at, and then the show just hit the ground running. I mean, there was just no delay. You guys dove right back into it. You got to be delighted with the project so far, and it continues again for its second season.
You know, the project is amazing. You know, sometimes when you're stepping into something that's already been established, it's either a gift or a curse. And I think the jury was still out. We didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't really know how we were going to be received. We know we had big shoes to fill just because that was such an amazing show, and it really changed television. And, you know, the show itself is living and breathing now on its own. I think that the Mayans are standing on their own. We're going to see a little bit of the Sons come back this season. And, I mean, it's just going to be another balls-to-the-wall exciting season. You know, the motorcycles, like you said, was just a gift. You know, I'd never ridden before. I learned in 2 days. I went down. I got my driver's license. I went out to set. They pointed me to this big, badass bike with the ape hangers on it. I'd never ridden before. So everyone kept saying, oh, the apes are going to be so hard. The apes are going to be hard. But, you know, once you learn on something, I learned on apes. So I don't really know the other way.
Right.
So if this is harder, then, hey, to hell with it. Let's just go for it all the way. You know, that's just my bike. You're going to see this year, Bishop's got a bit of a new bike. I'm still riding the Breakout, which is just an amazing machine. Boy, I tell you, she handles so nice. But you're going to see that through our collaboration with the cartels now, the Mayans are doing okay. You know,
yeah,
the Mayans
are money coming in.
A little money away for college. I don't know.
Money coming in. But, we got Oscar Santana.
Know, still dying. We're still, you know, we still work in the dark, and we got a lot of skeletons in the closet. We're racking up the bodies this year. But, you know, it's awesome. Commerce. And this little agreement that we've made between the cartel and Los Olvidados is actually working out for us. But, you know, it is the old case, you know, more money, more problems. But, you know, I think we can handle them this year.
Awesome.
Michael, this is Oscar Santana, and we love the show. We've been talking about it since season one. And the guys here and I, before the show, we were having a pre-show meeting. We were discussing, there's got to be a method within the way that you actually portray your role and how you go through the script. The first season dealt with Easy and how, like, his trials and tribulations of, like, how is he going to get back out of this world under the FBI's thumbnail. And are there times that you read the script prior to getting into the actual shooting schedule and you're like, I can't believe this is happening? Because it seems to me like at every turn, the show continues to surprise you and also keep you engaged.
You know, that's very much the case. You know, on a gangster show, when there's bullets flying, I mean, honestly, it's kind of scary to read the scripts because you're not sure if you're going to be the guy taking the bullet this week.
yeah, that's right.
You know, like I said, there's a lot of bodies hitting the floor. I'm always surprised. And I think that's just kind of the way that I like to work as an actor, too. I don't like to know too much, but I want to know exactly, you know, what I need to do to portray this character. But when these scripts come in, you know, you guys are in it just like we're in it. We don't know what's happening. We don't get the whole Bible like some shows do. You know, this is a kind of show-by-show basis. And, you know, when Devontae died last year and you know, when they killed their cousin Maurice Combs, I just was like, what? What are they doing? Why are they doing this? And, you know, but it's just, it's exciting. It's exciting. I got to tell you, I'm right there with you guys as the audience member when we get the first script and the script comes in, whether it's 11 o'clock at night and I hear the ding, I'm waking up and I'm trying to read this script and now it's 1 a.m. and I'm like, oh, I'm just so excited to go to work. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm just trying to deal with Angel and Easy and these guys. They give me such a headache, such a pain in my butt. But, you know, it's all about the club. It's all about the club.
It's we're talking with Michael Irby. He plays Bishop on Mayans MC. Rob, I know you like another show that Michael's on, and you wanted to ask him about that.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a pretty good time to be Michael Irby, because not only are you on Mayans MC, you're also on Barry, which I think just got nine Emmy nominations. Is that right?
I'm going to go ahead and jump out there. It's actually 17, brother.
17? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Way to do the research, Rob.
Nominations, man. I tell you, these are... It's not a bad time to be Michael Irby. They're top shelf problems. I'm on two of the most highly talked about shows on television. That is so rare. Barry came out of the absolute blue sky. I was sitting around and my old friends, Sharon Bialy and Sherry Thomas, who cast the unit, they are amazing casting directors out here in L.A. They're crushing the game. I got a call from Sherry. She said, would you come in for Barry? We're having a hard time casting this role. I said, what is it? He says, you're like a Bolivian Sammy Hagar.
So true.
It is.
And so, you know, I got online. I did a little bit of homework. And I went in and I said, okay, so what do you actually want? She says, Michael, I want Midnight Irby. I want the Midnight Irby, the guy that's having fun, maybe had a couple cocktails, doesn't have a care in the world, and is just about having some fun. And I said, all right, let me try it. And they liked it. I did two episodes the first season. They enjoyed that. They brought me back for 6 episodes the second season. And, you know, Noho and I, we have a very, very complex relationship. You know, as you see towards the end of the last season, we're professing our love to each other. We had the whole leg wrap around. I was able to sneak out of the building when Barry came in and shut it up. And there's a little rumor that I might be back season 3. I'm still waiting to find out on that.
We wish you a lot of luck on that one. I was watching one of your interviews, and it drives me nuts being a golfer when somebody gets asked about golf, or it comes up, because as soon as it comes up, I have 30,000 questions that I have to ask, and I've got two last ones for you that I want. I want you to, first, the golfing thing. You mentioned, and I think you're still into it, it's one of your favorite things to do.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I was just at a tournament with Emilio Rivera on Saturday. I just, I found it late in my life. You know, long story short, I was a soccer player. I had a bit of an injury, but I still needed something. I love to compete. It's something that is in my DNA. And I got out there, and I'm an athlete. So I looked at the ball. I hit the ball. It went pretty straight. It started to go pretty far. And I'm addicted, man. I would play every single day if I didn't have to go to work and make money.
What's your handicap?
I'm probably hitting about, I'm in the low 20s right now, man. I'm just about a year in, you know, okay. But at the end of the day, I'm a bogey golfer, double, you know, there's some pars in there. I've had a few birdies, I don't really think about it in a handicap like that. I'm really just playing myself all the time. And I can kind of, it's something I can do by myself,
right.
Something I can do with my boys. I play with Dennis Haysbert a lot, the old president from 24.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, right. Jonas Blaine from the unit. You know, I never golfed until I became a president. I just happened to be a president of a bunch of bad guys.
The president of the Mayans. Hey, and my daughter is just getting started in your. I looked at your IMDb, your filmography. I mean, you are the definition of a working actor. You have been in so many projects. It's astonishing at your age. And I mean, really, you're not that long in the tooth. You're not like me. I'm an old guy, but my daughter's just starting out. And I always like to ask an actor when we get them on the show, a working actor, somebody who's been successful. When you're starting out, what do you focus on? What did you focus on? And what would you tell somebody who's just, still got the dream at the dream stage? What would you tell an actor?
Oh, man, I would say, you know, my wife and I talk about it. It really is 10% talent, sometimes 90% right. confidence. You know, this is a business of like imagery and what you tell people. When you tell people who you are, don't let people tell you who you are. And, you know, make it all about the work. It's never about the end result. The end result will present itself at the end. Stick to the script, say the words, be as truthful as you can, believe in yourself like nobody else can because nobody else will. And, you know, if you hold on to some of those little things, and I believe you can take it to the bank, it's still going to be hard. You're going to hit at least 50 no's to every one yes, but those no's are just fuel in the fire, and they should inspire you. They should never take you down or feel like you're not worth this. So I would just tell your daughter, just believe in yourself and, just make sure that you're doing the work and, you know, stay focused on the work. It's always wow. about the work.
Oh, Michael, that is so cool. I'm grabbing this clip and sending it to her today because that's going to be fantastic. Mayans MC premieres Tuesday, September 3rd on FX. Michael Irby Bishop on the show. We love it. We wish you continued success and good luck with your golf game as well. And really fantastic interview. Great talking to you and good luck with everything you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me out.
That's Michael Irby, everybody. What a nice guy.
Fantastic.
Really cool guy.
Very cool.
And really just, you know, I will be one of the people when you look and at the spinoff, it really went in a totally different direction. And Oscar, on the whole thing with bringing the entire Latin cast in, really, really tapped into the culture.
Oh, I had not thought about that. We talk about, again, we were talking about it before the show, that these motorcycles, they're a little more elaborate. There's a lot more chrome.
The whole low rider thing. It's styled out. Sense.
Just yeah. fantastic.
Love that he tapped into the culture fact, that's actually on purpose. We were trying to think budget, but that's not budget. It's they're doing the real thing.
And when I was riding, and I don't ride anymore, but the Apes, you know, I could ride if I wanted to, but I sold my bike down here because, all you have to do is go out on Route 41 in Southwest Florida and see a 95-year-old woman going,
excuse me, I'm sorry I chopped your legs off.
The Ape Hangers are tough, but that's very, very cool. And he sounds pretty jacked about Barry as well, that he's on that project. That's wonderful. It's great. He talked about confidence with my daughter, the confidence I had when I looked in the mirror today and decided to shave my head with my beard. Clippers. Let's start the show, Rob.
Hey, man, is that O'Mara Rock?
Yeah, man.
Well, turn it up, man. Kato Records presents 16 original hits inspired by The Mike O'Mara Show in one far-out collection.
It's O'Mara Rock.
This groovy collection covers everything TMOS. There are songs about legendary P1 listeners. Jolie, Jolie.
Hit songs about the TMOS wives.
And songs about all the things TMOS listeners love. Out of sight.
You can get on the TMOS Hit Parade by becoming a TMOS Talking Head.
Send your email to Rob with 2 B's at MikeOmaraShow.com and include your name and phone number and explain all about your wild, wild life.
The best of O'Mara.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, all the way from the great state of Nevada, the man who joined us after a brief hiatus during the summer, he's back. He's Nicholas Diamond, and we are delighted to have him again on the show. And Nikki, Last week, we really didn't even touch on you enough and find out how you are doing and what's new in your world. Nikki Diamond, take it away.
Well, hello, gentlemen. Yes, I was too busy picking every game correct. Sorry we didn't get to me. We were spending all that time making everyone cash, baby.
Yeah. It's incredible, Nikki. I'm proud of you. And, you know, you just sound so revitalized after the summer and so energetic. Hey, you know what? Did I ask you how your love life was, Nikki? How you doing? Is there any new woman in your world?
New diamonds?
In between loves right now, Mike.
Ah.
Yes, that's too
something
bad.
Something I don't think bad. You've ever experienced. This man's been married 9 times. Am I right?
Three, Nikki. I'm on number 3. That's it. And it's my 10th wedding anniversary today, Nikki Diamond.
Congratulations. I've given you a second location, Podcast City. It's all yours. Have
Podcast City.
Get down to Podcast City. Congrats to Green. The girls are pretty.
Yeah. We figured out.
I stopped working at the Pahrump Valley Roasters. We had creative differences, if you will. We've moved on from that venture.
Mm. Oh, you're not a barista anymore.
That's sad, right?
I'm so sorry to hear that. Are you not seeking out other part-time employment, Nikki?
I am a dog walker.
Oh, are you working for a WAG?
Dog walker.
Or one of those other apps out there?
Never heard of that. That's just doing my own thing. I'm not a businessman like you, Bermuda boy, over here with your apps and stuff. I'm a boots on the ground guy.
Nikki, how are you with animals? Do animals like you? Do you throw off good vibrations and they sort of dig you?
They hate me.
That Nikki, you know, we have a dog walker. Rob's wife used to do that job. She still does a little dog walking. Yeah. So you could probably talk to Carrie and get some advice on it.
I'm not sure Spurlock wants me talking to Carrie. That's Spurl's husband, how that worked out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. All right, let's get to it, Nikki. Enough of your sexual exploits. Let's
have
get
to
on
catch
to
her when she's
the,
awake.
The games. Take it away, Nikki Diamond, with this week's NFL picks, baby.
Well, speaking of Carrie, we have our sleeper pick of the week to Carrie. This guy is filling in for Melvin Gordon, who's holding out for the Chargers. Austin Eckler. He had a great game last week. They'll go to Detroit and in the dome. His speed, he'll dominate. Running back, 100 total yards and a touchdown. You snooze, you win, baby.
It's a shame.
The Merle. It's a sure thing. No doubt about it. Yes. The New England Patriots, they're going to go to Miami. The Dolphins, they've given up. This team, it's week 2. They're already thinking about the number 1 pick in the draft. The Patriots, they're given 19. That's nothing. Belichick loves to run up the score. It'll be 21-0 after one quarter. The Patriots are a dynasty, and the Dolphins are the It's Mickey of football teams. They've given up.
Oh, God.
And now, the diamond pick of the week. You got to pick one player to take your team to the top. Travis Kelce, Kansas City Chiefs. The best tight end in the game. He didn't score last week, which means this week he's going to score twice. It's a lock, baby. Light him up. Walk a dog. Later.
All right, thank you. Bye,
later.
Nikki. Thank you, Nikki. That's Nikki Diamond. Hang him up. Hang him up.
He's
all right,
gone.
That's wonderful. That's they're very, very exciting. Very exciting for Nikki Diamond. And by the way, the Chiefs, I think, was that was the game we all picked simultaneously.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
You picked the Lions, though. And we picked the Chargers.
We did pick
but
the Chargers.
But that's his sleeper. That's his carry.
We'll see what happens.
What did I pick the Lions?
I don't know. It's Detroit, for God's sakes.
Let me give you. Look,
so
I
he likes the Patriots, huh? How about that?
There's a movie that I like a lot, and it's been on, I think, already. I got it on demand. It was Escape from Donnamora. Did anybody watch that?
I have not watched it.
You know what? Here's the thing. With prison escape movies, I came to the conclusion that even if the people that are escaping from jail are real scumbags and horrible human beings, I still root for them, which I think it's my innate desire to see people stick it to the man. Sure. And this thing is fantastic because this is the two guys up in upstate New York that escaped from prison and got the help from that lady.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that story, that
they and they ended up arresting her, too.
Yeah.
And so this was not that long ago, and they do the whole thing about how it's just amazing to think in this modern age that they can still carve their way down into the bowels of this this old prison.
It's a great genre of movie, the prison escape film, and obviously The Shawshank Redemption would be your favorite.
That's my numero uno, and I, this I'm is a good one. Any other ones.
Escape from Alcatraz was a great one.
Escape from Alcatraz.
What about The Rock?
Oh, that was another good one. Another Alcatraz movie. Yeah.
There's just something about suddenly, no matter what you do to get
Escape from L.A.
Escape from L.A.
Escape to Witch Mountain. All of these great movies.
The Great Escape. The Great Escape.
You know what?
Steve McQueen.
I put that ahead of Alcatraz.
What about the R&B group Escape?
That's very good.
Escape. And Escape Club.
That's right. And Superman War One and Escape.
All right. What was the Escape Club's hit?
Oh,
and they opened for Mike and the Mechanics when I saw him at D.A.R. Constitution.
Wild Wild West?
Oh, you get it. Yes,
damn.
Congratulations.
I know because you never played that on WAVA.
Yeah, I love the Wild Wild West. Yes. I really love
it. That's actually a good song.
I met him, too. I met him backstage. Oh. Nice group of cats.
Really?
Really cats. Cool. Yeah. They opened for Mike and the Mechanics at D.A.R. Constitution Hall.
Great.
And that's back when
venue.
Mike and the Mechanics had that song, The Living Years.
Yep.
And is this it? You have it?
I'm bringing up Wild Wild West. Hold on.
Okay.
Right, not the new one.
No, and I actually, you know, there's three charting versions. Let's hear them.
Oh, the Wild Wild West was the Will Smith rap song.
Yeah. But don't forget Kool Moe Dee's Wild Wild West.
Oh, is that what you got? Is
no,
that
I have
the
all
one
three.
You found?
I have a
okay. I hate that.
Right. You don't like this song? I know this one.
This is great. You know what about Kool Moe Dee, Mike? He goes to work like an architect. Here's Will Smith.
Hey, everybody, Power 105 WAVA, Mike the Insult DJ with you today. How about those picks from the three guys that never really succeeded in sports? Isn't that fantastic? Wild Wild West, yes, sir. Everybody picked the Chiefs. Duh. Thank you.
Still don't forgive him for sampling Stevie on that record. Not fair.
And the Escape, the third one is the Escape Club.
Starts with a gunshot, right? Yeah.
There we go. Yes, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But if you want to see a great one, I think it's a miniseries, but I'm not sure. I watched two episodes.
Then it's got to be.
Yeah.
Escape from Donnamora. And I'm trying.
What's it about?
It's about the guys that coerced a lady that worked in the prison system to give them insider information.
There was seduction at play, right?
Oh, yeah.
There was seduction at play. Yeah, they banged. I think they both banged her.
Yes.
And then they escaped
out of a manhole.
And she was a noted slut.
Yeah.
And,
how dare
you? But they've got a really weird guy that plays her husband that's kind of like, yeah, you want to go to the King's Walk restaurant? Here we go, dear. It's just got a lot of nuance to it.
She looked elsewhere for intimacy.
Yes, she did.
They escaped out of a manhole, like through the sewer
system. They got out of a manhole in the middle of, blocks away from the prison.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then they were on their way, and they went into the mountains, and one guy got killed as he pointed a gun at him. The SWAT team that got him, and the other guy went back to jail, and he's in solitary 24 hours a day now.
And wasn't that her nickname at the prison? The manhole. That's what they called her.
Thank you. Thank you very much. On that note, we have to take another break.
Tonight, after an all-new Fall Guy, there's a man on the mean streets of West South Florida who won't put up with his lady being hassled.
I don't like my lady being hassled.
I said that. And when it comes to keeping cars on the street, this guy takes matters into his own hands.
The car just could not pull into the driveway. I had to park on the street.
Mike O'Mara is on the case, and he lives life on his own terms.
We all control the street.
It's the O'Mara Files. Watch it along with the Mike O'Mara Show on your favorite platform, YouTube, Instagram, and at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And remember,
I love cigars.
The best of O'Mara.
Taking a peek into Oscar's world right now.
Oscar's
I don't know
world.
What this is. I don't know whether this is hesitation to talk about it. He's not his usual exuberant self. I don't know if this is the weekend catching up with him.
He's not forthcoming.
He seems different, does he not?
He does.
Seems like I'm trying to get this info out of him, and if you want to move past the
widow. No, I don't have to move
past. How old is the widow, would you estimate?
I would say 65.
Oh, that's young nowadays. That's young. And does she resemble anyone famous?
Like
Helen Mirren?
I would say, who's the lady before she had all the plastic surgery? No, the lady from War of the Roses before she got
Kathleen
all, she
Turner?
Got
puffy,
Kathleen
got
Turner?
Puffy, before she got puffy.
I knew there was a factor in that. I knew.
Shannon is definitely jealous.
If you'd like to come over. And
is Shannon really?
Shannon calls me her pool boy.
Pool boy?
Yes.
Ah, there we
and
are.
And I said,
there
look, Shannon, one day I'll die, and hopefully you'll have a pool boy on the block that comes over and helps you out.
Yeah, you occasionally will describe your neighborhood of Georgetown on Halloween, and you did it last year, but you kind of present
my car was
a,
vandalized.
You kind of present like a Night of the Purge scenario in Georgetown.
It's like you were there. It's like you were there. Yes.
My memories of Georgetown was Don and I did a costume contest down at the Bayou, and we're chased up the street by a McDonald's French fries going, F you, F you. It was the last costume contest I ever judged. Probably Don ever judged as well.
Was it
we
one of your worst nights as a broadcaster? Because you referenced it a lot.
Well, the fact was that we were responsible for judging. It was a big cash prize, and people get so pissed about not winning. And I said, "Well, never. We can never put ourselves in that situation again." So we would leave it to. If you'll notice, when you've worked with me for over 20 years. All the contests I've ever done, if there's ever a contest element. I do crowd applause usually. It's a how does the crowd feel about it?
So you never want that onus on yourself.
No,
but I remember it being. It's been known as a rowdy time, and you apparently had your car vandalized last year.
Apparently, yes, I had it done. I had two things done.
Calm down.
My hood stomped on, and someone walked all over my car. Literally ran over my car with their bare feet and sneakers.
So was it bare feet or sneakers?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Because you can see sneaker prints on the sunroof and bare feet.
That's gross.
Now, I don't dispute whether you're being honest here, but Shannon is not necessarily thrilled. Your wife, kind of strange
my
to say
My wife.
That, right? Your wife is not necessarily thrilled with you spending Halloween. What time are you going over to the widow's house?
6 p.m.
For how 6 long?
6 p.m.?
Yes. 6 p.m. I'll probably be there till 8.
Midnight.
Well, this is just
2 hours is wonderful.
To give you some context, last year, this wonderful neighbor came to me and said, "Hey, I know you're new on the block. This is going to be your first Halloween. Heads up, things get crazy." And I was thinking, get crazy, kegs, beer, frat boys, sorority girls, college kids, right? That's not it at all. It just gets crazy because why wouldn't you, if you live in the city, every kid in the city comes to Georgetown, right? You've got the proximity of houses that are right next to each other. So as far as trick-or-treating in a target-rich environment, it's perfect. But again, every kid in the city from all parts of the city, they're mixing in one space. They're teenagers. Two people got robbed.
I really thought that would have changed with the current administration. No, I really thought that they would have prevented that.
One person got essentially beat down right around the corner from my block. So it's
rough.
It gets dangerous.
Was she a widow last Halloween as well?
Yes. And she told me, she sent me.
Did you ever, were you handing out candy last year?
Yes.
Did you get anybody hinky coming to your door?
All of them. Every single person except for one little kid. Two couples came by that weren't hinky, that were just sweet and nice. Everyone else.
So they're all older like kids?
They're older
just want
kids.
Candy.
They're teenagers that want kids. They're barely dressed up. And I was judging myself and her, to be quite frank, because I was like, these are just teenagers. They're having fun. Why not, right?
Hey, by the way, have you guys gotten the post that's all over the place that says, hey, by the way, if the kids aren't dressed up, go ahead and give them candy. They could be doing something a lot worse. Have you seen that post?
No, but F that.
Maybe I'm the only one that's
seen it. Doesn't run
seen
on my feed, but I agree with you. I don't sit there. I want people to make some sort of effort, right?
Yeah.
Some sort of effort.
Well, it just, to me, Halloween, the point of demarcation was when we all started dressing as hobos, and then you were egging
hobos.
Cars and throwing toilet paper.
Yeah.
That dates me, doesn't it?
Hobos yeah.
Bums.
Bums.
I'm going as a bum.
Yeah, we tie a handkerchief on a stick.
Yeah.
Harry it over your shoulder.
Yeah, it's like, you got a bandana? Where's my bandana?
Yeah.
Hey, I need some. Mom, can I use some of your mascara? I just want to rub it on my forehead so
I look dirty. You know, we get a lot is freshman football players that just go around in their football uniforms.
Yeah, we had that too. I saw soccer players that were wearing like soccer jerseys. So it's, are you saying it's a dangerous environment in your neighborhood on Halloween?
I'd say if you look at the what happened last year and you're looking at that data, yes. Like two robberies, I think three beatdowns total and whatever vandalism that wasn't reported.
And
okay.
The widow said, you know, it can get pretty crazy out here. It's safe in my bedroom.
Well, last year after...
Did you initiate the visit? Did you say, I'll come over and I'll sit with you?
Mike, after I realized my car was vandalized, I went over her and I said, I apologize. I said, thank you for giving me the heads up. I apologize. I misunderstood what you were telling me. You were essentially saying, probably not a good idea to give out candy. And I thought you were just being a Debbie Downer, but you were telling me why. Now, this is what happened. She goes, I didn't know that there was no tactful way to tell you this. Like I tried to, and I said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. I just
there was
wasn't
a
listening.
Bad element, some bad seeds out there.
So imagine you're 65, you're in this home. She's not giving away candy because over the past few years, it's gotten worse.
Sure.
And you hear people knocking on your door saying, we know you're in there. We know you're in there.
Oh, that's scary.
And you're all alone and you're in the city.
Yeah.
Right?
It's scary. It's very, very scary.
So
it's
now we're better friends. And I said, look, I'm not going to give out candy at my house because my girl is clearly not going to be there. And it's not just going to be me giving out candy. She said, what are you doing for Halloween? I was like, I'm actually off on Tuesday. Why don't I come over? And I asked her to, I was like, I'll come over and give out candy with you because she enjoys that.
So she's basically enjoying the process, and she feels the safety of having a strapping
a
man,
younger man,
a pool
there,
boy
next
to her.
And I said, "Look, you dress like Elvira. I'll dress like Jon Snow. It'll be a great night."
You didn't say that to her.
No, but if she did do that, that would be a treat for everybody.
If she dressed as Elvira,
oh yeah.
I mean, is the 65-year. Rob, I'm getting tongue-tied because there's so many multiple
levels
to this.
When he said, okay, let's take a step back. He said that she looks like a pre-plastic surgery Kathleen Turner. Not bad.
Now, that's strong.
Yeah, and if she's 65, but...
That's extraordinarily strong right there.
Kathleen Turner at 65 would be strong. So is she buxom?
I would say she works out. I'll leave it as that.
Okay, buxom means, let me rephrase, is she a little top-heavy?
How about this? She's not sloppy.
Okay, still not answering, though.
They're not flapjacks.
Okay, right? Good. That's good. That's what I'm looking for.
So you're going to have a good time. You think you're going to have an adult beverage when you go over there?
I hope so. I'm not just going to stand there sober.
All right, that's good. Are you bringing your own candy?
I did buy a ton of candy off Amazon, so I'll bring it over there.
That's good. That's
she probably
very
has candy
exciting.
As well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be super
deluxe. It'll be fun. Now, this is where you guys have to tell me how I deal with this. There's a new couple across the street I think they're not my age. They might be Shannon's age, right?
Okay, a little younger than you.
Across the street, and they're in their, I said, mid-30s, and they are pumped for Halloween. But I don't think anyone has had the cojones to go tell them, hey, heads up, things change around here for a little bit.
There's never anything of a home invasion nature, right? It's not like they come to the door and kind of like, try to barge in.
It's a hostile crowd.
It's a hostile crowd, but all the activity comes out on the street. That's where people.
If your house is an inch from the
Good
street,
morning.
It's essentially. I mean, you can hear it all. When I heard the pandemonium break out last year, I was like, "There's a riot happening outside."
Are the 30-year-olds? Are they? Do they park on the street?
Yes.
Well, then just go out and jump on their car and say, "Happy Halloween!"
This is what it's all about here. Come on now. Let me in. Let me into your house. I want Reese's peanut butter cups.
And then Oscar opens the door and it's just like,
oh. Hello. Yeah. Hello. I would welcome Sal. Like, it would be great to see him. But if I saw Sal three times in a row, I would say three times in an hour, like I did last year.
Yeah.
Like, people just come right back and be like, did I just see you guys?
No, it's another guy.
Can I ask one more question about the widow?
Yes.
Is she well-heeled?
Well-heeled.
Does she have more?
Oh, I imagine you do if you live in essentially a corner lot. So
much bigger house than yours.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Yeah, boy.
I would say you could fit six of my houses in that home.
Wow. So
you're looking forward to this, huh? This is going to be a fun evening.
Yeah. It's better than sitting at home hoping my car doesn't get stomped. At least I have some drinks. Talk about the good old days.
That's
and the
true.
Costumes
and,
that are here.
And you've got a plan B.
Plan B. Shannon's not getting home till 10.
Yeah,
what
boy.
What am I going to do with that?
Boy, out there slaying the dragon doing those yoga poses,
doing some moon seance at the yoga studio. Who knows?
Pittsburgh has a favorite burger, and now the Steel City has a favorite chip. Introducing Amato Chips.
Yes, run by the famous Amato family.
We use only the freshest potatoes, straight from Countersport, Pennsylvania's Potato City.
The best thing to happen to the potato chip since the deep fryer.
It has an unmistakable crunch that keeps you coming back for more. And it's the perfect companion to an Amato burger that you can top with
Pittsburgh sauce. Charred on the outside, tender on the inside.
And where can you find Jim Chips?
You can find it at Walmart, Target.
Buy a bag or a dozen by clicking the shopping center banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
If it says Amato, you know it's fresh.
The best of O'Mara.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, so much younger than me, Carla. Happy birthday to you.
She's busy giving back facials and chemical peels today. But I have to say, it was 10 years ago, I married my best friend. No, that was the anniversary post where I said the situation got out of jail the same day I got married. Can it get any better than this? No. Happy birthday.
When you married Carla Sorrentino.
Yes. Carla Snooky Polizzi. Carla is, today is her 19th birthday. That's very, very excited.
Is she excited to vote?
Oh, she's so excited to vote and vape.
Vote and vape.
Really, voting and vaping. It's really
vaping is dangerous.
Really special. It is. It's voting especially if you put the cannabis in. Is that what they have? They determined that. You know, we've been meaning to talk about vaping. By the way, happy birthday, Carla. Got big plans for you. Going to a gourmet restaurant tonight.
Mm. Which one?
It's called Iguan Namia.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Have you heard
it? Sushi rolls?
Southwest. Iguan Namia.
Mike, those aren't stars. Those are asterisks.
Iguan Namia has a logo of a lizard.
Yes.
And fantastic frozen margarita.
Oh, Mike, you know what? You're keeping it real. You're going back to stomping ground. Yeah.
We're going to Iguan.
I like how you kept dropping clues.
Where she wants to go.
Until Oscar figured out what you were talking about.
I didn't know.
I couldn't go on anymore. He didn't.
No. Iguana. What?
Iguan Namia. Just fantastic. So we're gonna go there and celebrate. And I don't know.
Do they do stuff?
Dog.
I mean, you go there a lot. Do they do stuff for birthdays, like put a sombrero on her and sing?
No, I don't think it's one of those restaurants where you hear coming from the kitchen.
No flair,
which I always hate.
Happy birthday, 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 and all
the board servers going, we hate our jobs. We're going to our car. I'll get in my car. I'll smoke a joint and then I'll go back home. Hey, we're really happy. It's your birthday today. I got a felony charge. I hope they don't find out about it. Hey, I don't have any front teeth. I'm waiting food on you. I don't have my front teeth, so I don't really smile that broadly.
Birthday arsenic tablet.
If you saw what we do to the food inside, you wouldn't need another bite, I sure.
Now, would you be the kind of guy that would ever like sneak up to the maitre d' or the floor manager and say, it's her birthday and we want to embarrass you? Or embarrass her?
Probably.
I've
done
asked
that.
For cake, not embarrassment.
I always ask for embarrassment.
Yeah. I haven't said the word embarrassment.
We did it to RJ once at the Chinese restaurant.
Oh, that's right.
We said it was his 50th birthday, and it's important that you embarrass him.
That's funny.
And the thing about it is I've probably said, can we do something special?
Yeah.
And sometimes I've made a really big deal about it,
right.
But never like the embarrassment part of things. So it's her 39th birthday. I am 21 years older than she is.
Wait a second.
Those are the statistics that 60. Are out there. You don't hear 60. That very. I'm 60.
She does not look 39.
No.
And she is, she's, you know, it was an interesting morning. My son bit his lip and his lip was bothering him. So he's crying this morning. I had to run out to Shea Mart to get some Ambisol to put on it. And then he was like, that feels funny, Dad. I said, yeah, that's it's kind of a numbing agent. Oh, and he grins. And I'm like, okay, that crisis has been averted. To the bus we go. Seneca's on his way. Yes, sirree. One of the old guys driving out this morning super early rolls his window down as I'm waving to the bus, and he goes, bye, Daddy,
oh,
and just
God.
Drives out. just bye. One of the guys that knows me. That like, hey, guy. Jimmy, how you doing? Bye, daddy. Like in a mocking tone. Yeah, like,
so yes. Great.
I have normal age kids. But anyway, you know, as
I get to sleep
away,
till I wake up.
I'm going to go live my life.
I bet. But you know what? To be fair, I bet he had Ambisol already.
Yeah.
And probably two tubes.
So it's going to be she was not feeling well. We had the neighbors over, our next door neighbors over, and yes, she had a couple of glasses
sure,
of wine.
That'll
before.
Do it.
We just had za. We just had some pizza, and it was not. But she was feeling very queasy because Carla eats like a champ most of the yeah. time, mm-hmm. and so you know me, my old stomach is like, yeah, bring it. What can you throw at me? You know, no problem at all.
The old
right?
Ironside.
Yeah. Really nice folks. And they've only come down for a short period of time. So they're going back. But she was not feeling well. And now she's off today because it's hands-on bringing in friends and family members as subjects for her skin torture.
Ooh.
That she's
nice.
Going to be doing today.
It's not torture. So, they're ways of beauty.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy. She's delighted. She's totally into this, and I'm happy. And, you know, I'm thinking like Oscar thinks. I'm like, how do we get 15 different salons with Carla's name on it? You know, that's the way I think.
Yes.
She's like, I just want to enjoy. No, enjoy. No, I'm in the crazy rich Asian movie mode of any business enterprise.
You have a name for a salon yet?
I don't think in terms of how much fun you have doing it. I think in terms of how it can affect the bottom line. Which accounts for my amazing success here.
Mike, of course.
Mike, what's fun?
What's fun? You have fun. Come on.
No, I'm teasing. I just
you, I mean, you work your ass off, but you do. You've been going. I mean, you
Mike,
had.
We just finished. I would say in the last, in the last 21 days.
It's 3 weeks, Mike.
Yeah. I haven't had a day off. That's crazy.
You've been working weekends.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you, is your other show that we talked about, are you going to be doing any more shows before Las Vegas?
Before the end of the year? No. Before the end
that's
of the year.
That's a modified schedule.
Yeah, it's a modified schedule. It's fantastic.
I can say.
That's good. Fantastic. So that'll chill. Yeah. And the studio downtown is built?
Yeah. We had, so if you, this is what, and just a quick sidebar. When you get a letter from ESPN Corporate in Bristol, Connecticut.
Dear Oscar.
They say, and it's addressed to the entire production staff. So it's not just me. It's our team here. It's the local ESPN team from D.C. that says Dominique Foxworth's new show that we're actually producing the daily show, the weekly show of, has great content, great concept. And the set looks amazing. That's our podcast village. That's where we broadcast from.
Right.
And then we knock out a production like yesterday where you see like he has the set has been upgraded from some requests that they had from Connecticut.
They tweaked it.
And if you look at it today, just dropped, it looks like an effing TV show. So you should be proud
corporate? What is the corporate thing?
The corporate entity, the second in command for all ESPN programming for television.
Yeah.
He's the person who wrote us about the show we're producing for The Undefeated, which is an ESPN brand about Dominique's show. And we just recorded the second episode yesterday after our show in the morning. I raced over to M. We did that show. It went up to the world. And it's a great feeling. So to answer your question.
Oh, I thought that when you say a corporate letter,
it sounded like
a long
he was
way to go. I thought there was something horrible coming.
No, no, the corporate letter was great.
Cease and desist immediately with using our logos.
It says it was actually reinforcing that the effort put into this show and into the entire company to put our best foot forward is working.
And I have to say,
you got a nice compliment from corporate.
Yes.
And as
a
compliment,
thank you for the good work you're
doing.
Yes.
Let me tell you this, Oscar. When you say it looks like a flipping TV show, don't diminish yourself. It is.
It is a TV show.
It is.
It is a TV show.
When I've watched what's been built around here based on, you know, largely on his hard work, it's amazing. It's fun to be a part of it.
So to answer your question, is it fun? It's absolutely fun because we love doing it.
But you're crisp. I mean, it's written all over your face.
Well, I guess my point to you is that heavy lifting for that studio is done.
And your live show is done that you did on your other. And now
if we could sell some more fruitcakes.
Yes.
Well, how are we doing with the fruitcake?
I ran the numbers. We should be doing better than last year. We're doing just as good as last year. We should be doing better.
We have to exceed.
We should do better.
Yes.
Yeah. They're 2 weeks away, people.
We've got passionate people.
How about this? If you win the golden ticket, don't be scared. You don't have to come here. You don't even have to tell us.
No.
Because Pony and I were doing some analysis this weekend.
You really think that the golden ticket promotion that I came up with and I was accused of stealing from your other is diminishing the sales?
Okay. So the conversation.
I'll kill you, Mike, if you tell me that.
You should know that Pony and I were looking at all the metrics. And I was actually working with Pony this weekend, right? This weekend, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Mike,
absolutely.
I don't just work on Podcast Village. I work on the Mike O'Mara Show this weekend.
And he was working on bettering Pony.
So I'm talking to Pony. I'm like, run those numbers again. Let me see all the variables you put in. So we're going back and forth. If I can pull the curtain back a little bit, this is great. Last year, we lost a ton of money because we set the shipping price at a flat fee.
Right.
The only thing that's changed, the two things that have changed is now we have to charge for shipping so we don't lose a ton of money, because that wasn't fun last year. And Mike decided to invite people to the studio in his house. Mm-hmm. Those are the two variables. So let's say it's not the shipping. If you all are scared.
No, let's say it is the shipping, because the house promotion, the golden ticket, that is such crap. If you're saying to me that you're saying that would prevent people from buying a fruitcake because they have a chance to win, they're not scared. They're scared that they'll have to travel to D.C.
Maybe we broadcast to a lot of homebodies.
Maybe not D.C.
Oh, Florida. I see.
If they're scared to come to Florida.
Well, no, if they're scared that if they get the ticket and they don't want to go and they have to tell us they get the ticket and they don't want to go.
If they don't, feel if awkward. They can't go or they don't want to go, they can give the ticket back to us or give it to somebody.
It is transferable. The golden ticket and the platinum ticket is transferable.
Boom, bam. I don't expect the person that gets the platinum or gold ticket to. Why are we having this discussion?
I don't know. I think it's because he's crispy.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, but it's completely transferable.
Yes.
You know,
yes. You just sign the back of it, right?
What's that?
You just sign the back of it.
Yeah,
like a check. That's all you do for deposit only. Yeah.
Is it resellable?
Glad you got a good letter from ESPN Corporate. Meanwhile, I'm having a friggin' bake sale. It's not doing as well as it did last year. Jesus, FML.
It's doing, you didn't hear me, it's doing as well as it did last year. We should be
doing
better.
That's not good enough. We expected to double it.
We have to redouble
it. We should be doing better. That's why I'm pleading to the audience right now. Know that you don't have to come or go to Florida if you get this. You can give it to somebody else.
Last year, I think we also have to account for last year, the newness of it. That's what made it very, very
exciting. Should offset that is there were people that doubted the fruitcake. They said, you know, we had been talking about them for 10 years.
It's our fundraiser. It's our fundraiser.
Not one speck of a bad review from what we shipped out last year.
I know.
People should be excited to get in on this, buy multiple fruitcakes, save them for themselves, give them as gifts, put them in the freezer.
All I know is these discussions, I'm channeling Madeline Kahn now. With all this talk about Oscar being crispy,
yes.
I'm channeling Madeline Kahn, hearing all this talk about this, you know, seeing, you know, because really, ultimately, it comes back when I look at the world, it comes back to me, where I think about my world, you know, and when I hear that, you know, this is going great down here, and this is going, all of Oscar's other enterprises are doing so well, but meanwhile, back at the home base. Here we are.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Makes me feel a little sad, to be honest with you. I mean, I've really enjoyed doing the show the last year. It's been fantastic, but when I hear this stuff, you know, it makes me sad.
Well, Mike, nothing goes on forever.
Rob!
And all I know is this. In a world where things happen organically in a finite manner, if you don't jump when the getting is good, you miss out.
Yeah, you're not going to make fruitcakes every year.
Oh, right? No, this is it.
No. Have you heard about the cherry shortage?
No. What? Is there a bad cherry shortage?
Oh, it's horrible.
Wink, wink.
But we've bought our futures.
Oh, we're good.
We're in.
I'm just talking about from now on.
Yeah, I know.
Mike.
I didn't get much sleep myself last night.
Oh, no, what happened?
I was tossing and turning. I'm uptight. I'm nervous about stuff. I'm nervous, you know. I'm thinking. I'm always. It's always churning, you know.
Yeah.
It's always churning. It's never ending. It's never, it's like everybody in life, everybody, no matter what you do, no matter what you do for a living, you're always thinking, you're always trying to think, what can I do to make it better? And, you know, if we have a real, so what you're telling me is if we had a really great week with fruitcake sales.
Yeah.
And even somebody who wasn't inclined to get one went and grabbed one. That would be
it'd
really
be great.
Really
think of the
great
magic of giving
but
as
do
a gift.
We that to ourselves. We started promoting it later. We didn't probably at the beginning give it the same go. We don't plan enough. We need to plan better. We kind of let things happen. We still do that a lot.
Well, I know this.
Not like we used to.
Our listenership is a procrastinating crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to think, oh, I can do that later. I can do that later. Listen, folks, you got 13 days. That's it.
13 days for
the fruitcake. Can you put an atomic clock on our website that's counting down?
I will do that.
Thank you. That's not a bad call.
And if it's not atomic, it's okay. It's just a clock.
Pony, he legitimately had a discussion with you.
Yes.
That my thing about the platinum and gold ticket may have been causing the I might have been blamed when I bring my brilliant idea that I stole from Chad Dukes. When I bring that to and get a phone call and get a post that says, I can't believe Mike would do that. And then I said, what?
What?
The golden ticket. We've been doing that for 3 months. And I said, I didn't know that. And I really didn't know that. And then after all that, as I'm getting attacked by the guy that stole my job, I am sitting there and I go and I'm like, what happened? And you're telling me that that idea that I took all that unnecessary crap about is the reason that... That can't be true. What's your opinion, Pony?
You know, I said, Oscar, Mike is, he's no monster. He's a wonderful man. And I don't think you're right.
People
about
are afraid
that.
To come to my house?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee awful. That's exactly what Pony said.
A wonderful man.
Pony, in Pony's defense, Pony said, the shipping is something that's dramatically different.
It is. It's
any, it goes, anybody could get
it's that. It's not that dramatically different, guys.
It's not.
Pennies.
It's not $190.
You'd get yelled at if you said that.
You'd yell at? Well, I'd get fired.
You'd get yelled at. Yes, you'd get yelled at.
No. It's not $2. We were boneheads last year. We were saying flat rate shipping for $2.
Right?
That's... Nobody does that. Amazon doesn't do that unless you buy Prime.
Right. Pennies. This is a matter of pennies.
It's depending on where you are in the country, it's anywhere from
don't give numbers. Numbers bore people.
They're not bad. It's
statistics make people yawn.
There is nothing being made on the shipping.
No.
The problem with what I... And by the way, Pony and I have a conversation like this every weekend throughout the fruitcake. So we always analyze to see how it's going.
That sounds fun.
Well, I'd love to invite you to them. Please, you're welcome anytime.
I'm always around.
So, I'm sure on a Sunday, please.
Hey, Pony, what did he say about the golden ticket?
Let's get back to that.
Oh, I said, Oscar.
Tell me the truth. Don't play a game. Yeah, don't play a shtick.
You want, okay.
You're not funny. The full truth? Just tell the truth.
I want the full truth.
And nothing but the truth.
Because I think he may be projecting, because that has to blow back on him a little bit, the whole drama around the golden ticket.
We didn't even bring up the golden ticket. At all. The discussion was more about...
You just brought it up on the air?
Not at all.
I love messing with you.
You know, man.
I love messing with you.
Jeez. You know.
You know, if he was any more of a troll, he'd live under a bridge.
I swear to God. Well, his best friend's the troll of trolls.
I know. But trolls
the Uber troll.
But trolls shouldn't be 7 feet tall.
The Uber troll. Had another one yesterday. Don't even. Sometimes his are not even decipherable to me.
Yeah,
it's part of that. You know that frog group that he's with. You know what I mean? The picture of the frog. You know,
oh yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
the secret society. Yeah, you know that. He goes into the deep conspiracy people, and then he'll post something like, "Is it really time?"
Oh, and then vague,
get 40 likes and people that are like, ha, 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 yeah, we're going to throw all the ribs into the ocean.
That's really vague and frightening conspiracy.
Like the golden ticket, if anything, has helped. I just honestly, we're looking. I want those numbers. The response for the fruitcakes last year was overwhelming.
It's very simple. Let's simply say,
I want to beat last year.
If you can buy one fruitcake today, even if you already bought one, buy an extra.
Yes,
one, that
please.
Would help
the cost. As a gift.
It's our fundraiser. And yes. We have a budget at this show that we have to hit some certain numbers or we're in a lot of trouble. And because this is a
Christmas
job. This is like
canceled.
You know, we don't want to cancel Christmas.
Oh, God,
year.
No.
We really don't.
But now I know what tomorrow's spot's going to be.
Yeah. See, I think I didn't have anything to really worry about, but I really, 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 yeah, change those. Let's make them friendlier now.
Okay.
Yeah, let's make them friendlier.
Clearly, perhaps your copy isn't working.
That isn't working. Well, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Today is these a comment on a social issue, and tomorrow, friendly.
Friendly. Yeah, I mean, friendly. It's necessary.
Yes.
Because you're telling people you're not special.
There are many sets of
that's
ears.
That's what you're saying to people. You realize that's your entire
hey, you know for a fact there is a segment of our population that responds well to negativity.
I know. But
out west, they'd say.
With Christmas and all that.
Yes, we don't want to cancel Christmas.
Make it happy. But
yeah. And a lost toe. So,
how are they going to miss it? Buy a fruitcake. Yeah, all right, start the goddamn show.
You're special, though, Mike.
The UBS Evening News with Howard Beale.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a pandemic. You're upset and you're angry and you stare at your podcast player and you say, please don't take my Friday cocktail party or my shopping center or my bonus show or my steel belted radials. Luckily, you've got the Michael Merry Show and it's not going anywhere. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. You've got to say, I'm a human being, goddammit. My life has value. You. And that's okay, because you can always go to your computer, open a window, and type MichaelMeraShow.com. Do it. You'll be glad as hell, and you won't have to take it anymore. MichaelMeraShow.com, making you as glad as hell. I must make my witness.
The Best of O'Mara.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Lots of ideas this week on the TMOS Yak Check. You want to hear from an idea, man?
Please.
Yeah. TMOS Yak Check, 888-920-MORE, 888-920-6673.
Hey, Mike, Rob, and Oscar. It's Matt from Northeast Maryland with a thought. For those of us that can't go to the live show in Vegas, which is most of the listeners, maybe you could have a bonus show of the live show that we could pay for. Maybe even more money, like $4.99, $5.99. Just a thought. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
We get variants of that every year we do a live show.
We always have this conversation. And look.
You're the business guy. I'll let you
in. We are open to suggestions. As we, you know, the best idea will always win, Mike. I always talk about that here.
I get it.
We mm-hmm. At least we try to. The idea behind the live shows. While I appreciate the enthusiasm to, like, they want to hear it. The way that Mike builds these shows, some of the stuff just may not translate. It just may not. There's a lot of visuals built in. And if maybe you're saying, well, then just do the video, you dummy. That's something maybe we could look at. But the idea of being there in this community, this three-day festival, usually a weekend, Mike,
mm-hmm.
a conclave, mm-hmm. Of getting everybody together, I think that's really what makes it special.
Yep, it is. It is. It's exclusive. And you know what? You're right, sir. But I think we do a lot of stuff during the course of the year for the show. I know that financially, it's not always possible for everybody to get out to Vegas. We are not going to certainly have a total residency in Las Vegas. We're going to hop around the country and do it in different spots. We got lots more live shows coming. So stay tuned, and maybe it'll come near you sometime, and we'll see what happens.
Where's that guy from? Does it say where he's from? No?
I think he might have been Maryland.
Maryland?
Might have been a Maryland guy. You
hello?
Know. Yeah, we've done a lot of live shows around Maryland. So,
Thank you.
I think that I don't want to say we're tapped out on going to the well saying pay for this, pay for this, pay for this. But
we
as far
fight
as the live
not
show,
to ask for more money.
Yeah, for the idea of doing live shows, you know, and then we do our fruitcakes. Those are now the way it stands. Our
fruitcake
big fundraisers for the year,
cornerstone fundraiser.
Yes, absolutely.
Mike's like, hey, well, we got a business meeting coming up. I'll run the annual numbers. We're going back and forth. I was like, these fruitcakes are important to us.
They're very important to us, and we love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's time for me to get hurt. On the Yak Shack, uh-oh. I sacrificed myself quite a bit. Yes, you. I wrote down, you love to hurt me. Let me play a call from my biggest fan.
You might have known about the Big O and Duke's golden ticket promo if you didn't block so many people. If you didn't get your feelings hurt and block everyone, you would have seen the countless number of posts about this and the countless number of comments about this immediately following the live broadcast. But, you know, You get butt hurt. You block people. It's what you do.
Man, that guy is
a lot of hate.
Down to the felt.
That's a lot of hate. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
That's a man.
Listen to the tone. I'm going to play it again. Listen to this.
You might have known about the Big O and Duke's golden ticket promo if you didn't block so many people. If you didn't get your feelings hurt and block everyone, you would have seen the countless number of posts about this and the countless number of comments about this immediately following the live broadcast. But, you know, you get butt hurt, you block people. It's what you do.
Yeah, it is what I do. I wish I could block you, you hump.
Because there's so much aggression under that, like within.
I don't think so at all.
You might have known about the Big O and Duke's golden ticket promo if you didn't block so many people. If you didn't get your feelings hurt and block everyone, you would have seen the countless number of posts about this and the countless number of comments about this immediately following the live broadcast. But, you know, you get butt hurt, you block people. It's what you do.
He does sound fat, doesn't he?
Well, I'm fat shaming, but he sounds fat.
He sounds fat.
I think this is when I would step back and say, if I were you, Mike, and I'm not you, but this is what I would say. This man is calling your show to tell you about how he is mad at you about another show, which is another show I work on, to let you know this is why you didn't know about something, but you could have known something if he would have not been blocked, 4 or 5 years ago, and he has not let it go. He's not let it go. He just hasn't.
All right. Send me a personal message, sir. I'm moving right along. This is the Yak Shack.
Hi, Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and everyone else. This is Mike in Homestead. And all this talk this week about the nostalgia of Woodstock, that leaves me with some bittersweet memories. I grew up outside Rochester, New York, about a 4.5-5 hour drive.
Yeah.
And some older kids were going down to Woodstock. So I asked my dad if I could go to Woodstock with them. And he actually thought about it for a second. Then he said, no, you're too young. I said, but Dad, I'm almost 14. Well, he didn't let me go. I missed out on all that free love. And I'll tell you, I was just at that age where my hormones were starting to kick in. And 50 years later, I'm still pissed off about missing all that free love because I was just a couple years too young. Man, if I was HBS's age, I would have been up to my neck in free love. Man, so pissed.
I love you guys.
Have a good one.
I love that call. All right, we got to take a break. That's an awesome call. Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.